Blog Talk Radio.
Our God, our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. We want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries. I am Brother Miles. This is the Feast of Unleavened. And so from the 14th of Nisan to the 21st, another 5 days, we should not be eating leaven. Leaven should not be in our houses. All right. Amen. We have Brother Isaiah, and he will be bringing the precept this morning. And it's the devil has no power. He only gets what we allow. I want to say amen to that. He only gets what we allow. And so we want to say Shabbat Shalom to my brother. Happy Sabbath.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Happy Sabbath, family.
Amen. Amen. We want to welcome everybody on Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you are in North America or South America or in England or the continent of Africa. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. This is a day that Yah Elohim has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Elohim that we serve, he is good. He is the only Elohim that there is. And we want to make sure that we always give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let us do our statement of faith. We will pray in, and then I will turn it over to my brother to bring the precept. All right, so let me have the ladies to cover their heads, the men to uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your tender mercy. Hallelujah, Yah. We just want to glorify you and magnify you and lift you up. Hallelujah. Thank you for all that you do for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you all the praise. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. There is none like you, Yah. None like you. Let us go to the book of, no, let us, everybody is turned toward the east already. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You have said that if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and confess our sin, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon your people by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wickedly, and we are repenting of our sins, Father, and we're turning from our wicked way. We ask that you would hear our prayers and our supplications, and our testimony will be to the world that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom today, we ask that you will smile upon this work, that you will give the teacher favor in all that they do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, we pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. And we're going to be reading verses 46 through 53. And then we will jump to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest forth our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I pray everybody had a blessed Passover. I enjoyed it. The service that we had with the brothers and the sisters that attended, we pray that everybody else was in observance and had a good one as well. All right, Brother Isaiah, we turn it over to you, my brother. I'm as Yah leads you.
Amen, amen, amen. After that well-spoken word you put, bro, I think we can just go ahead and get into the lesson. All praises on that. All praises.
Amen. However Yah leads you, my brother, amen. You know that.
Amen. And all praises, grace and peace, family. Grace and peace to my brothers and sisters. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to Yah's Golden Kingdom, and to my portion of the podcast show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. Grace and peace, brothers and sisters. My name is Isaiah Brown, and I will be teaching and reading the lesson. And the name of the lesson is called, just in case if we have any new listeners popping in at this very moment, is called, The Devil Has No, He Hath No Power. He only gets what we allow. And, you know, and this is what really strengthens us in our faith, you know, because a lot of times we go out in life, we might find things very difficult, or we find ourselves in situations and stuff like that, or even our thought process might be a little not as good as we expect it to be. But what we need to understand is that we really have to stop blaming the devil for all of these situations. Because if you really look at this metaphor I'm about to tell you, what I'm about to show you right now, is basically all he can do. Picture Satan the devil with a head and a body, with no arms and no legs. That's Satan the devil, if you think about it. He's a head, neck, and a body with no arms and legs. Who's afraid of something like that? He can't do no harm to you. Only thing he can do is talk to you. So breaking this thing down, the devil can't make you do anything. Only thing he can do is try to persuade you into doing your own folly. That's all the power he has. And if you ignore him and you resist him, he lost. And he gonna go on about his business and probably give you, and he'll come check you out later on in the future. That's about it. So a lot of us be like, well, the devil this, the devil that, the devil this, the devil that. We're giving this man way too much power because he don't even have that power. And to be honest, he only get what we allow. So if you have a problem with wrath and anger, he's going to put it on your head that can cause you wrath and anger. If you don't, if you ignore it and you put your faith most at God, then he can't do nothing. He might as well go on about his business because you didn't fall for his foolishness. You have a problem with envy. You have a problem with lust. You have problems with any of these things. Remember, he don't have arms and legs, as his metaphor we're speaking, can make you do anything. The only thing he's able to do is to try to persuade you into following it. That's the only power he has. And the scriptures that the Lord allowed me to provide for the Sabbath morning class, hopefully through the grace of God, we'll be able to see that. But once we go through these scriptures and understand what the book is talking about, this will come a point in time, we're going to be like, if we make it to the Lord's kingdom, we're going to be like, that's him. That's the guy that's supposed to be terrorizing the world. He's nothing. And then we're going to really show you how he's nothing according to the scriptures. And we also will show you how you can defeat it, how you can defeat the devil by going to Jesus Christ's scriptures when he was in the flesh and showed us how he destroyed the devil only three scriptures and to show us it's that simple to get him off of you. But the problem is with us is that, you know, we still like to entertain our folly at times. And a way for us to deceive ourselves into our own foolishness is that we believe and we will pray or even sometimes say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, he was attacking me. No, he wasn't doing anything. It was you and your flesh and your decision. All that he did was roll the ball over there. It is up to you. Well, no, it's up to us to pick the ball up. But any type of matter of wickedness, any type of thing that is against God, it all starts with the mind. It all starts with the mind. Before you do any type of action, it all starts with the mind. It all starts with the mind. And once it is completed in the mind, the only thing that's left is for you to take action. But we need to understand, practice and work on ignoring the devil. The Bible already says you resist him, he'll flee from you. And it's withstand, it's for withhold. It's to fight your thoughts. You know if you think this way, what's going to happen? Because you remember what happened last time. So it's in our best interest is to find a better thinking process and practice on it and to strengthen yourself in your heart. So when he come and try to put a thought in your head or try to persuade you on something, you already know how that spirit is going to operate. He ain't coming to you in some unique way for us to try to sit down and figure out. No, he ain't coming to us like that. He's been around for a very long time, since the day we were born to the time now, on what we like and what we don't like. If you perfected the dietary law, he's not going to come to you like trying to convince you to eat a pork chop. If he knows you perfected the Sabbath day or keeping it holy, he's not going to try to persuade you to try to go to the restaurant and buy yourself something to eat and go chill out and get into all your worldly ways the other 6 days out of the week. He's not going to do that because he's going to be wasting his time, and he knows he has nothing but a short time anyway. So when he's coming at us, he's going to become the things he knows that we have difficulties with, the things we have our biggest battles with. That's how he's going to come at us, and he's not going to waste his time, and he's not going to play fair. But even after all this stuff I'm saying, it's still up to you. It's still up to us to simply just ignore him. Ignore him, because he don't have the power to force you to do anything. Only thing he can do is try to persuade you into believing his foolishness. Because how the devil play, his conversation is right in the middle. But when you deal with God, it's either a left or a right. It's either a yes or a no. But when you maybe yourself to death, and we always have this thought process of maybe this, maybe that, wasting all your time stressing yourself, then you might want to take a step back and put your trust in the Lord. So I'm going to do us a scripture reading in the book of Psalms, and then we're going to get right into the precept. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes if our person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. The reading was taking place from the book of Psalms, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now it's time for us to get into this precept. Amen. Amen. So now it's time for us to get into this precept and try to get an understanding on this conversation that we're having. So what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is go into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Pay very close attention to this conversation, and we're going to understand that he really ain't nothing at that point in time. We're going to really see he's nothing. He already ain't nothing, but we're going to really see he's nothing at that point in time. So what we're going to do is go into the book, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 15. And we're going to read Ezekiel, chapter 28, and we're going to go, we're going to Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 15 through 19. And remember that this conversation we have is just say the devil. This is just a conversation about him, you know, and his folly and what he got coming. You know, making a long story short. But we're going to break this thing down in a certain verse that we're about to read to really show us that he ain't nothing. So what we're going to do is just pick this up in verse 15. And we're going to read verses 15 through 19. Verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled thee in the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So now if you look at this conversation, well, somebody's going to see this man. When the Lord revealed all this stuff, I don't know around what time this is going to be, but we're going to really see who this guy really is. And once we check this whole thing out, we're going to find out that he really ain't nothing. This is him. This is the guy that was doing all this terror and deceiving people? Him? He's nothing. And this is how the Lord see him. Y'all worried about him? Y'all should be afraid of me. He ain't nothing. He's nothing. And the Lord is going to show us later on in the scriptures why he ain't nothing. The only thing he has is a decent mouthpiece. But if you are aware of it, then he doesn't have a chance. He really ain't got no chance. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So there's nothing going to be good coming out of you. You're not going to use you for nothing good. You want that? You want to disobey me? Then yeah, you can have it. But you already know, as we read these scriptures right now, they said they go that they shall be that they that that all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So we already know what he got coming.
You want to be all puffed up because of the multitude of your merchandise? They have filled you with, they filled your heart with violence? And now you sin. Therefore, I'm going to cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So he don't have power. He don't have this Hollywood thought process that the world try to put in our minds. Like there is some type of battle between good and evil. The only battle between good and evil is you and defeating you, defeating your shortcomings, defeating who you are. That is the only battle we have. And the devil ain't really got nothing to do with none of that stuff. The only thing he can do is say something that might catch your ear. And if you don't, if you ignore it, eventually he'll be like, oh, well, let me go to somebody else. That's about it. I don't even know what else to say. I really don't know what else to say. But we understand as being servants. We understand as being people in this flesh. We still tend to fall off sometimes. So them times we've fallen off, we still can't blame the devil because that was something we wanted to do. Oh, man, Lord, it was hard, but the devil got me. No, no, you got yourself. He didn't put the gun to your head and force you. It was something you wanted to entertain. It was something you wanted to do. So what you blaming him for? I ain't give him no power to do that stuff to you. The only thing he has, I took all his toys away. He can't even pop up in front of you like he did in the Garden of Eden. I took all his toys away. He can't do nothing. He's invisible. And I beat him, broke him down so much to the point that all he got is a mouthpiece. All he can use is his mouth. All he can use is words to try to save you. So when we find ourselves a little too far to the left, it's because we made ourselves go to the left. And we got to stop blaming other people for our actions. It was something we wanted to do. Because if it wasn't something we wanted to do, then we wouldn't have did it. We wouldn't have not done it because the devil can't force us to do anything. So now let us go into the book of Job chapter 1. Book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job, chapter 1, and what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 7. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 7. And the Lord said unto, well, let's pick it up in verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So we all know that the angels got to present what they have to the Lord, and the devil has to present what he has too. He has no choice. He know he got to go. But let's look at this conversation he having. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and is true of evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he accursed thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself putting thou forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So now what are we understanding here? The devil didn't even do so, oh God, business, I'm not going to waste my time. it has gotten to a point that the Lord had to ask Satan the devil, how come you're not checking my servant Job out? So now, if Job can be on his righteousness with God to the point of this, what have we learned? If your righteousness is up there with Job is there, you take care of your business and stuff like that, and you're doing your thing for Most High God, and I'm talking about every day you own the Father's business. How many heads and angels do you think you have around you? How many angels and hedges do you think you have around your substance, your loved ones, the people you love, your health, your life? Everything that pertains unto you, how well do you think it will be furnished very well by keeping God's word? And then when you're looking at saying the devil, he's not even bothering Job. It took God to ask Job why you ain't checking Job out. But Satan said, man, hey, he able to do, yeah, because, I mean, because you got your angels around him. You got your hedges around him. I can't do nothing to him. But if you got so much faith in your boy, take them angels away and watch me. I bet I can get him curse you in your face. I can get him to curse you out. The Lord's like, oh, yeah. Take my hedges around Job. Take them angels away from the substance. Go show you on. Show me what you got. But you cannot kill him. So another thing we just understood about this conversation is what? As long as God keeps his shield and protection around you and the hedges of angels, the devil really, really, really can't do nothing with you. So when your days is going well, thank God. When the Lord provide for your table, thank God. When the Lord bless peace in your home, thank God. And the reason why you get, the only reason why you're able to establish that peace in your home and in your life is because of the hedges and angels that are around you. So when the Lord take it away from you, maybe a chastisement or whatever, then that's when drama starts to come a little bit. You know, the hedges come back, but maybe you got to go through something. Or maybe the Lord remember something you did and he ain't whooped your neck for yet. But their hedges, they'll come back. They'll come back once it's finished. But this conversation that we're having, brothers and sisters, is to show us that the devil can't work on his own. He can't do what he really wants to do because God is in his way. So he don't have power. He don't have power over us is because of the hedges and the angels that protect us. And he really don't have power, too, is because he can't force us to do anything. The only thing he can do is to try to convince us. But let us keep going into this story, brothers and sisters. Now let us go right over into the book of Job chapter 2. The book of Job chapter 2. To show us that the only power he has is to convince. And we're going to see who the person he was able to convince. Let us go into the book of Job chapter 2. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this up at verse 2. And we're going to read verses 2 through 10. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth of evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto him, Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took his posture to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, looking at this story in chapter 2 when it comes to Job and his wife, who was convinced to say something wrong? His wife was. You know, she's looking at him on the floor, hurting, pain, crying, and anguish. You know, she lost her kids, you know, lost their substance and stuff. So how easy would it have been for Satan just to put a little word in her mind? Man, look at all this stuff. You ain't got nothing. Your husband look like he about to die. You know, you lost everything. You lost your kids. You know, just Satan in her ear. You know, y'all must have did something wrong. You might as well just curse God and die. When you have those thoughts in your mind, when you think it's you, not knowing that you at battle, it did what? It sounded very well to his wife, and she spoke it. Because remember, before you speak something, it got to come through your mind first. It got to come through your thoughts. So this was a battle in her thoughts when this conversation was happening. So when she looked at her husband and seen these things, she was like, baby, just curse God and die. I can't stand looking at you like this much longer. But Job had to be strong enough to know that, hey, you mean tell me we can receive good from God but can't receive evil? I ain't doing that. And you talking like one of these foolish women speaking. So the picture here is that we've seen how the devil operates in his power. Satan, the devil, operates in his power by trying to convince us to do something evil or to say something evil or to think about something evil. That's his only power. And we've seen how he did it against his wife. That's the only power he has, is to try to convince you to say something you're not supposed to say or to do something you're not supposed to do. He didn't force her to say that. He didn't have her all twist and pinned to her back saying, say this to your husband. No. He seen the situation. He knows she hurt. She all in her emotions. She all in her feelings. The love of her life is in pain. The kids is gone. The soldiers and men is gone. The food and crops is all messed up. Hell, the only thing left now was death. We lost everything. So her faith is beaten, and the devil knew that. And he used that to try to get Job to curse God and die. The most important thing to a man is his wife. And who can get them to do something? The wife can. But it didn't work. The power of Satan did not work for Job. Because all Satan has is his mouthpiece. Okay? All praises. Now let's look at him in action again. Let us go into the book of Genesis chapter 3. The book of Genesis chapter 3. And give me one quick second, brothers and sisters. The book of Genesis chapter 3. We're in the book of Genesis chapter 3, brothers and sisters. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 1. Let's look at the only power Satan the devil has again. Well, have again. We're in the book of Genesis chapter 3. The book of Genesis chapter 3. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this up in verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not touch of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman thought that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So, brothers and sisters, this is just another form of the power that Satan the devil has. You know, how his power operates is on how we entertain it. So all she had to do was simple instructions. Don't talk to him. But when you read chapter 3, she's talking to him. So the book told us to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. So that means the word resist also means to ignore. Ignore the devil and he'll flee from you as well. So what happens when you start talking to this serpent, this devil? You playing with your salvation. You playing with your mind. Because if the serpent said to you, man, I say, what do you say? It said, man, he said, hey, he said that that a serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, have God said ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? Eve should have been like, Where's you, Adam? Oh, you over there picking roses? Well, I'm about to come join you. And that would have been the end of the story. But the battle in the flesh and the deception and deceitfulness came when she stopped and talked to him. Like, man, hey, man, come here. I know you sleepy over here. Did God say you can't eat this tree? So what she should have done? Nope. I ain't on that. Lord rebuke it. Nope. I'm just no. Where's you, Adam? You my head. Where you at? Then that would have been this. Then the book of Genesis would have been a whole different story. But when you sit back and entertain that thought, now it starts getting in trouble. When you sit back and be like, now you are in danger. Because Satan is talking to the woman now, and he said, man, have God said ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said ye should not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now she lost. Because once you entertain that spirit, he's been around for a very long time. You are bound to lose. So what the Lord is telling us is don't entertain that thought. Don't entertain that spirit. Ignore him. Don't give it chance to second guess it or to, I wonder how this would be. Because it's too dangerous. Because you are giving him power he don't have. He don't have the power to make you do anything. But he do have the power for you to sit back and think. What's this going to cost me? I shouldn't be doing this, but hey, I've been good for a long time. Let me see if I can get into a little folly. And this is when we find ourselves situations worse when we do things like this. You might be like, oh, this ain't going to hurt. But as soon as you do it, it takes almost years to try to fight that off. Off of a thought that he tried to put in your mind. You think, oh, this ain't going to hurt. Maybe I'll take this or maybe I'll go do something like that. And as soon as you do it, it takes almost years upon years just to try to fix it. Because that's the only power he has to get us to do it. He can't force you. He can't make you. He can't be all in your head 24/7. No, because he is commanded to leave after the temptation is over. He can't stay long. Just long enough to see if you go do it or not. It might take a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Who knows? But as long as we stay strong and keep our focus on God, then, hey, man, I'm wasting my time. He's strong now, but I'm going to see if he'd be weak later, be a little bit more weak in his flesh later. Now, let's show us the supreme way on defeating Satan the devil. Let us go into the book of Matthew chapter 4. the book of Matthew, chapter 4. And what we're going to – hold up. Okay, one second. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot to put a piece in here. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That's how you beat the devil. The Lord used three scriptures to beat and body slam, smack around, and kick out the house. They're saying the devil using only three scriptures. So the Lord just showed us some here. It ain't hard to get him away from you. Because the Lord showed us according to scriptures, all you need is three scriptures. You might need one sometimes, maybe. Or maybe two or three, maybe four sometimes. But the Lord is showing us that he only used three scriptures to take out Satan the devil, and he couldn't do nothing. So why is things so hard for us? The reason why things could be so hard for us is because whatever we're entertaining, we don't want to give it up, or we're not ready to give it up. That's the problem. It ain't got nothing to do with the devil twisting your arm. This ain't got nothing to do with those demons attacking you and making you do something you don't want to do. No. It's because it's something you don't want to give up. But through faith and patience and asking for strength and asking the Lord to deliver you from your shortcomings and to help you get through them and help you and support you on eliminating that flavor you love and that taste you love in that flesh. Lord, take that away from me and to strengthen me. And every day you work at it to try to get it better. Because the more you practice at something, the easier it'll get. So let us go into the book of Jude. I want to show you guys something that the Lord showed me. Let us go into the book of Jude, verse 9. Book of Jude, verse 9, because we got to deal with this spirit at times too. Have you ever thought about it that maybe the devil try to mess the other ones up too? The spirits we can't see? Let's check this conversation out. Jude 1 and 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. You mean to tell me the angels know how to get rid of the devil too? So if it said that there was disputing about the body of Moses, so you know it was a heated argument. It was a heated talk. You mean to tell me saying the devil was even trying to talk crazy to Michael, the archangel? And even the archangel know how to get rid of the devil? Without saying any type of railing accusations, but to simply say, the Lord rebuke thee, and probably went on by his business. So even we can say those things too as well. But we feel that there's a presence that's in our thought process that shouldn't be there. But to simply say in your heart, the Lord rebuke thee, think about something else and go on with your life. Not saying it's going to always be easy, but if you put it at practice, it can be easier. It can be more of a routine for you, for us. Because when Satan devil was in Michael the archangel face, he just said, man, the Lord rebuke you. You can go off and be like, hey, remember, hey, man, who you talking to? Remember who kicked you out. And remember in the future who go chain you up and bound you 1,000 years. He didn't say none of that. The only thing he said was to humble himself and be like, man, the Lord rebuke you, man. So if angels have to do this same protocol, what make us think we're not supposed to do the exact same one? Because he don't have power over us. Just rebuke your thoughts. Rebuke them. So let us go into the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. The book of Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28 and verse 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. So when you look at this conversation, when it says that he's wiser than Daniel and you can't keep no secret from him. So even though the devil know your dirty secrets, he know the skeletons in your closet. He know what you trying to get rid of. You know, he know how to come at you. He know how to get you to fall. But guess what? He still can't force you to do anything. The only thing he can do is bring that old memory back, that on something that you used to like. But now it's up to you to see if you're going to defeat that thought or not. So it doesn't matter how much he know. Doesn't matter how many secrets you can't keep from him. Matter of fact, the book said there's no secret you can keep from him. But it doesn't matter because the Lord showed us how to get rid of it. By using about 3 scriptures or simply saying the Lord rebuke thee and don't think about what that thought is and to move your mind somewhere else. It's just that simple. Amen. Because what we need to understand is we're going to understand how easy it is, we're about to go and check out to show you, say the devil really ain't nothing to be worried about or to be afraid of because he's just this easy to get rid of. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 20, the book of Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation, chapter 20, and what we're going to do is read verses 1 through 3. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. Verses 1 through 3. This is how easy Satan is to God. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should receive, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. It's just that simple. Well, it's time for you. It's time for me to shut you up. Grab that chain, wrap him up, put him in that spot, set a seal on it. It's over with. Done deal. You ain't about to deceive nobody for 1,000 years. And after that, I'm gonna let that seal loose and unchain you and let you finish the rest of this thing. But it's just that easy for him, for the Lord. Chain him up, set a seal on him, and that's it. He can't do nothing. You got to shut up. He can't do anything to us. So he's just really ain't nothing to be afraid of. It's us and ourselves who we need to defeat. That's the problem. It ain't him. He ain't the problem because he ain't got no power to do nothing. The problem is ourselves. Defeating ourselves. That's the problem. Now, this wasn't a part of the lesson, but I think it's necessary to put it in here. Let's go into the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, the book of Zechariah. Amen. Let me put this up here, too. So we just did Revelations. We'll do Zechariah. We'll do chapter 3, and we'll pick it up at verse 1. And we're going to read we're going to read 1 through 5. We might read more, but at the moment, we're doing Zechariah chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Right? So, you know, the devil think he about to go do something, right? The Lord about to show you how well he can flex his muscles. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that have chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with 50 garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the 50 garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fire myrrh upon his head. So they set a fire myrrh upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So we see Satan in verse 1. And the angel of the Lord started talking. And the rest of this, the Lord is just talking. And the angel is just talking. Well, Satan the devil. He came on his side to resist him. But after he tried to resist him, the angel of the Lord started talking, and the conversation of Satan is diminished. It's gone. It don't even exist. He's out of there. So what power do Satan really have? He came to try to do so with Joshua. The angel spoke, and that was it. Joshua had on filthy garments, and that's a metaphor to show you that he was that fleshly person with a bunch of issues with himself. Whatever his issue was in the flesh, I don't know. But metaphorically speaking, it took it off of him and put on righteous garments. So now he's thinking well. He's thinking right. He's truly, really a servant of God now. Well, he always has been, but he's really focused on the business for the Father. So if the Father got something for you to do, you go do it. you know, the devil might try to slow you down a little bit, but you still gonna get it done because the Lord has it for you to get it done. But he came to try to resist and try to do something. The angels took him, man, he got rid of all that. It seemed like it was very simple and easy. So what power do Satan has? He has no power. The only power he has is to try to influence us into doing something we're not supposed to do. That's about it. Now let's go to the book of Luke chapter 22. The book of Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, and what we're going to do is read verses 31 through 32. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee. Excuse me. That thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Right? So the Lord is talking to Peter. He said, man, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desire to have you, that he may swift you as wheat. It didn't say anything about force. Simon, Simon, the devil's going to make you do something you don't want to do. Or Simon, Simon, the devil's going to appear in front of you and force you to do something. No. When he said that the devil desired to have Simon, all that he's showing you is that he's going to try to provoke him into doing something he's not supposed to be doing. By the thought, by his mouth. Because if you understand the metaphor we talked about earlier before the precept started, see, the devil is just like a man with just a head and neck in a body with no arms and legs. He can't roll to you and make you do anything. He can't put his hands on you because he ain't got none. In the metaphor we're talking about, the only thing he has is his mouth. If you ignore his mouth, he lost. That's simple. But in order for this to play right, in order for this thing to be done correctly, we got to make sure we have something on us as well. Let's check out what we need to have and understand something. Let us go into the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And all we want is verse 6, the book of Hebrews 11, and what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 6, Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we got to understand something. It can be done, but do you believe it can be done? Do you believe that whatever you plan for, or whatever issue you having, or whatever messed up thought process you having, or with any battle in the flesh you having, do you believe that God can take it away? Even the ones we might have problems giving up. Don't you know that he can take that away if you believe him? So even if Satan throw a thought in your head, all you got to do is pray on it. Like, Lord, I know this thought ain't come from you, but I believe that you're going to take it away. And I'm going to do my part by keeping my work in the vineyard and do the best I can to fight that thought. And if you believe that, it's saying like, okay, well, Lord, you let me chill here for a couple more minutes. Okay, my time is gone. I'm gone. Go check somebody else out. I'll be back. You pray good, but I'll be back later. If we believe it can be done, it will be done. And don't be faithless. Have faith. And no matter what's delayed, if the Lord wants you to do it, you go do it.
But sometimes we delay our time, delay ourselves, and delays happen. Delays do happen when you do this walk. I'm going to tell you why things are delayed sometimes.
It's because simply watching the angels. We're about to read a very interesting story in the book of Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to break this whole thing down on delays. No matter if it's delayed or not, it's going to still happen, but sometimes it's be a delay sometimes. We're going to look at this conversation in the book of Daniel chapter 10 and break this whole thing down. We're in the book of Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15. And after we finish reading 1 through 15, we're going to read 20 through 21. I'm going to get a sip of my water. Daniel 10 and 1. Daniel 10 and 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, right? So something was revealed to Daniel, right? But the angel Lord ain't appeared. He didn't appear it to him yet. So Daniel, in his feelings, he hurt, he crying, right? It said in verse 2, it said, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms as his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So something was revealed to Daniel in verse 1, you know, but due to vision. But I don't know how it was set up for Daniel, but he knew something had to come. So in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I had no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks was fulfilled. But we're going to break this story down even more. So we read verse 5. It says, well, let's read verse 4. It said, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, right? Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. So we understand that what Daniel saw was an angel, and he's breaking down how this angel looked. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great earthquake fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So when this angel came to Daniel to give him the message that he was seeking from that vision he saw in verse 1, he can't have them other guys around. So the angels made a little earthquake, scared them. They ran off. Now this spirit can talk to Daniel by himself. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of the words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and standing upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So you mean to tell me it took this angel this long to come to Daniel to give him these words? You mean to tell me after all this time, 3 full weeks passed, you mean to tell me this angel is just now coming to Daniel? Is it because he was moving slow? He took a break to chilling out a little bit? No, because something stopped this angel from coming. Something stopped him from coming. Let's get more into this conversation. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Oh, so that's why that angel didn't come to Daniel at that time for them 3 weeks. It's because something stopped him for 21 days. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Oh, so I was supposed to give you this message, but some held me up. Some stopped me from coming. You would have been got the message, but the devil thought he can stop me. He can stop the message from coming. So I've been battling with this thing for 21 days. I've been battling with this spirit for 21 days. So this is why I'm coming now. It would have came sooner. It was delayed. But you still got the message. Michael, the archangel, the prince, had to come down to help me. Let's keep reading. Let's read 13 again. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. So we're not getting into the conversation on what the vision was about, but we're just showing you that things can be delayed. And I'm showing it to you through how this angel conversation. So the angel came to get a message to Daniel. The devil stopped him 21 days. It took Michael to come down and get Satan, to get the devil off of this angel. And then the angel came and gave the message to Daniel. But let's keep reading. Let's skip down to verse 20. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Right? So he said, okay, so now after he broke the vision down to him, the message, the angel was like, then say he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? So now do you understand now? Do you understand what the vision was? Because something else got to happen once he understands. Let's find out. And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I come, when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So now what we just learned. It says, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? So it was a fight. It was a battle going on for them 21 days. It took Michael to get saved off of this angel. And once he gave the message and broke the vision down to Daniel, he told us in verse 20, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. So now I'm going back to this battle to fight this war. I'm going back to fight this battle. So things can be delayed. But you go get the message. If the Lord wants you to do something, you go do it. It just might take some time. And I want to show it to you in this way through the angels. We're not the only ones battling. They battle too. The devil thought he was going to hold his angel up as long as he could, but Michael came. And when Michael came, he was able to get a message to Daniel. And after he gave the message to Daniel, he went back to the fight. Things can be delayed. Satan might think he got a little something-something, but it's only for a little short time. He might think he got something going on with you, but the Lord ain't going to let you fall all the way down. He's going to still keep you up. But just understand, sometimes in our life, things do get delayed. It's going to still go forth, but it might be delayed a little bit. Because at the end of the day, it's going to get done. Amen. Now let's go into the book of James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4, and what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 7. James 4 and 7. Book of James chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 7, because this is all this in a nutshell for us, brothers and sisters. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the word resist means, in the verb, withstand the action or effect of. Synonym, withstand, hold out against, endure, outlast, or keep out. Keep it away from you. Outlast it. When he come with his with those thoughts, that means you double your thoughts of righteousness. Hold out against, hold on to it. Hold on to what the Lord give you. Don't give up. Keep going. Withstand. You got to withstand this crap that be coming our way, because that's the only power he has, is to try to put it in our thoughts. But if you withstand the devil, if you outlast the devil, if you keep out from all that mess he's talking, he'll flee from you. The word flee means run. Well, I don't know what that means. I think it means run. I don't want to go overboard. But we know flee means he just going to leave from you. So excuse me on that. So now we have two more places after this. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 9. The book of Psalms chapter 9. And what we're going to do is just pick this up at verse 10. Psalms 9 and 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek him. So as long as we keep seeking the Lord, as long as we keep on trying to do what's right, as long as we keep trying to focus and to be a better person that's within us, the Lord is with us. He is with us. And he's seeing that we're doing the best we can with our trust. Because the book of Revelations, the book said, because thou hast had little strength. Ain't saying you was perfect, but you had little strength. Whatever you had, you held on to it tight. I keep you from the hour of temptation. So keep moving forward. Let's go to the last spot. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 28. This will be last. Psalms 28. Verse 7, and it read like this. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. Amen. We all need to understand that the Lord is our strength and our shield. We put our trust in the Lord. And remember, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. The only power the devil has is to try to throw a thought in your mind. That's it. That's the only power he has. If you ignore it, and if you keep moving forward, you'll find peace, great peace. Great peace will be established in your house, you, your household, your substance, all things. That just simply ignoring his mouth, because that's the only power the devil has. And I thank y'all for your time.
All right. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Just resist him. Just Yah rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Three, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Four words to get him off of you. So, amen. Amen. Great precept, brother. Great precept. So simple. And we got to recognize that enemy within us. Can't put it on him all the time. Because a lot of times it's we are the problem. We are our worst enemy. So, great precept. We get a Most High a hand clap of praise on that. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Great word. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother, for bringing that.
Amen.
612-298.
Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Mary, Sister Denise.
Hey, Sister Mary.
Hey, Brother Isaiah. I just wanted to say shalom and happy Sabbath. And Brother Isaiah, very good inspirational lesson.
Amen.
Very
all
good.
Amen.
Very good. You know, we need that little boost every once in a while. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
All praises.
And to say I love you guys.
Love you too, my sister.
I'm talking.
Love you too, sis.
Okay,
all right,
thank
amen.
You.
All right. As I said, great precept. And, you know, very simple. Very simply, you know, if you're struggling with temptation, if you're struggling from attacks, if you feel like you can't get from under, just do what the brother said. Yah rebuke you, Satan. But also be able to discern whether it's Satan or whether it's you. So sometimes we need to rebuke ourselves. Our own minds. And on that point, on this evening, the precept is going to be the power of positive thinking. What you reap, so shall you sow. So we want to be looking at the power of positive thinking in the kingdom. And that's going to be the precept on this evening. On tomorrow, we will do a heave offering. I wanted to do it during the day, but, you know, bring your first fruits, the fruits of your labor, that we may heave it before the Most High, that he will bless it. So tomorrow, during the day, let's do 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't want to take everybody's day. 10 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow, we'll do the heave offering. It will still be first day of the week after the Passover Sabbath, which is when the heave offering is done. We'll do it tomorrow during the day. And tonight we're going to be looking at the power of positive thought. Because what we put out there, what we put our mouth on, the Most High is telling us to be positive about it, be meek about it, and be careful what you say. So we want to get into those things tonight so that we can, as we do our heave offering tomorrow, that we do it in a positive way, that we put those positive vibes out there in the earth. So those things manifest for us. So the power of positive thought tonight, so as you sow, that shall you reap. From the position of a positive, from thinking positive. And once again, my brother, I want to say great precept, powerful words, four simple words. Yah rebuke you. If you'll go ahead and pray us out, my brother. Brother Isaiah? All right. If you're talking, you're on mute. All right, then I'll pray us out. Let's all turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Father, yeah, we thank you for the
word. We thank you for lifting us up and giving us what we need to protect ourselves against the attack of the enemy. He's nothing. And his only power is the power of suggestion. If you resist him, he must flee. So, Father, we thank you for giving us the simple defense that we might be able to go forward and to walk in your way and to be your ambassadors in the world. For truly, truly, we want to be your representatives. We want the world to know that by our walk, we belong to you. So, Father, as we go our separate ways this morning, we ask that you would smile upon us, that you would encamp your angels around us, and that you would keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, Yah loves you. Well, let me say how the sister said it to me. I love you, and Yah loves you more.
Amen, so, amen.
Without you, there's no need. I need a